Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. And it says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain had killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." So we have here in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, in the beginning of the Bible, "And then men began to call on the name of the Lord." Well, we talk kind of, what does that mean? When they gathered together here, well, again, don't turn there. I'm just going to read out of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." So the Lord appeared to Abram. He gave him the land. And Abram said, "I'm going to build an altar here." But then it says, "He moved and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord." So now Abram, a couple chapters later, has called on the name of the Lord and built an altar there. And I thought, man, calling on the name of the Lord, the beginning of people gathering together to corporately worship and pray and seek their Creator. We have to think about these things. When was the last time we said, "Oh, let me seek my Creator"? Because His creation is all around us. And they began to seek His help. We talked Wednesday night about seeking help. And sometimes the last place you go is to call on the name of the Lord. Or sometimes out of desperation, with no effort on yourself, you call out on the name of the Lord. Say, "Lord, help me out of this mess that I created." And really what you mean is wave your magic wand and make it go away. And you're not really calling on Him to help you rectify the situation. So the Old Testament, they're calling on the name of the Lord. Fast forward. Again, don't turn there. Just stay where you are in Romans chapter 10. Acts 2, what we read Wednesday night, the last couple Wednesday nights, and talked about. "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So now they're calling on the name of the Lord in a different manner to be saved. They're looking for salvation. That's great. To seek, to preach, to witness, to testify. But church, I challenge you today, when we talk about calling on the name of the Lord, that we also seek living in the name of the Lord. We can call on the name of the Lord day in and day out, but if we're not living in the name of the Lord, all we'll ever do is call out on Him to help us out of the mess that we created without doing anything to try and change our path, our thought process, our actions, our words, our temperament. I wonder sometimes. We talked recently about a great event that happened. Our Savior was put to death on the cross. He was crucified. He died. He was buried in a tomb. And on the third day, He rose. That means that we have victory. Why do we play the victim so many times, church? Why are we victims every time I turn around? We're a victim of something or somebody. We've got Jesus on our side. We should be walking around saying, "Man, He has defeated death. He has defeated sin. I am living in glory." But instead, we're sitting on the corner going, oh my gosh, oh poor pitiful me. And I'm talking about the church in general. I'm not talking just prayer of faith, but I may be speaking to some of you. I'm talking about the church in general. We live defeated sometimes. We are not living in the name of the Lord. We've got to pick ourselves up. Say, good grief. I caused that mess by my own self. Through my laziness, through my sinfulness, whatever it is. I created that mess, and I better do something to get myself out of it. Lord, let me rub the magic genie. Will you please get me out of this mess I've created myself? I squandered all my money. Lord, would you please just drop a big fat bonus check in the mail for me? How about spending differently? God, I'm lazy at work. Someone got promoted ahead of me. God, would you please just give me that promotion anyway? Because I could really use the money. You see, Lord, I want maximum reward for minimum effort. It's a little backwards. Oh, Lordy, Adam's kind of hitting it hard today. Live in the name of the Lord. We call on the name of the Lord to be saved. He says, you are saved. Man, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah, let me go. Oh, it's way down. Adam Mark Dilley. Oh, praise God. My name's in there. Whew, I can go back to doing what I was doing. No. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 13. Follow along with me, please. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Church, I'm telling you, as Eric and I preach, our prayer and desire is that they, whoever they are, may be saved and changed and transformed by the message. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, a couple weeks ago when we talked about that great event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we had opportunity. And we had opportunity to surrender. If you were here, you remember. We came down and we traded the white flags, so that we could pick up our cross daily. Oh, I don't remember where I put my cross. But we surrendered. We gave our life to Christ. God, it's not my life anymore. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. And God, I said I'd pick up my cross daily. And I'd follow you. God, I followed you that day. I followed you through the food line as we ate a meal together. I followed you home. But Lord, then I took a nap and I don't remember where I left you. And I don't think if we surrender to Him, but we can't find our cross, I don't think we're living in the name of the Lord. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it goes further and it talks about Israel needing the gospel. And here it talks about Israel rejecting the gospel. In verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Do we struggle with unbelief? And how then shall they believe in Him on whom they have not heard? Have we been wearing our spiritual earmuffs? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Last I checked, Pastor Eric and I were here every week. One of us preaching, or Pastor Jan filling in a couple weeks ago. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. You know, church, we have young people in this church. They want to preach the gospel. They want to teach. And our youth pastor, Josh Rojo, is working on becoming ordained and just started that process. And I think, church, how lucky, how blessed we are to have young people that want to do that. Christian Evenson wanted to do a message with the youth group, and he did. And how lucky and how blessed we are. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold. And Isaiah says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. We have a group of people that need the gospel. And then we have a group of people who have rejected the gospel. We have a group of people that are obedient and a group of people that are disobedient. But I say, if we're living in the name of the Lord, He calls on us to be obedient, to be faithful. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I was driving this past week out of town. Had inventory in another store. Was there till late. Got home late in the evening. And on the way up there, a young man asked me, since I couldn't get out of the car since I was driving, he said, "Let me ask you a question." He said, "How do you handle stress?" My first response was, "Well, what's stress?" He said, "Any of it." And I said, "Well, I don't carry a lot with me, because that's baggage I don't need to carry. This happened to be someone I've known for many, many years and worked with at different times. And we've had conversations about church and about faith and about God. And I said, I believe God takes a lot of that from me. Anything I lay at His feet, He takes from me. But I said, I have to choose not to go back and pick it up and have this struggle with God trying to yank it out of His hands. I said, are you talking about specific stress? And so we worked together. Is there stress at work? He said, everything. Family, church, work. I said, my faith doesn't give me a lot of stress. My faith allows me to put anything that can be looked at as stress aside. Oh, yeah, there's times that are, you know, there's a lot going on. I said, there are stressful times, but I don't carry that with me. My wife is a beautiful balance and a sounding board at times. At times saying enough sounding off, just get over it. But she's a sounding board. She's peace for me. And I said, when you live a right life, and I'm not saying that everything's perfect in my life, and I'm not saying I don't make mistakes. I'm just saying, but when you live a life that is righteous, that stress is diminished. It's diminished. And I think sometimes we're like, we want all the Jesus part, but we don't know what to do with this other stuff that we have in our life. And where do I put that? I know. I'm going to go rent another storage unit for that junk I carry. And we get yet another storage unit because our garage is packed full. Our closets are packed full of all this stuff we carry around. And just 2 days before that, my boss and I were out of town, and he was driving. And there was this big black bird flying in front of us like this, and then it just flew off. And he said, "I wish I was that bird." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Carefree, not a worry in the world." I said, "You know, there's a Bible scripture about that." And I read him the Bible scripture out of Matthew. It talks about the birds of the air don't worry about where they get their food from, and they don't worry about that stuff. And I said, "It's something to think about." Now, that's easy. He carries the weight of all our owners' businesses on his shoulders. But I said, "But remember that scripture and that Bible verse." You see, the answers to our questions and our problems is right here, church. It's in here. I don't know what version you have of the Bible, but, oh gosh, mine has well over 2,000 pages. Well, that's a big instruction manual. I didn't even read the instruction manual on a new computer, on the cell phone, on my car. I don't read those things. That's where we mess up. And that's where we have to go get another storage unit for our stuff that we carry around. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 10. And it says, "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect." Let me just stop there. One of the key components here is I endure. I get we have weak knees at times and they hurt, but it says I endure. I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Let me repeat that. If we endure, church, we also shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And I love that part. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. It doesn't say he's faithless to us. It says he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Church, we've got to watch what we say. And we've got to watch how we say it. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen to verse 16. It says, but shun profane and idle babblings. Church, don't listen to that stuff. And for goodness sakes, don't be that person. Shun profane and idle babblings. Quit babbling about stuff that doesn't matter. Quit complaining about stuff that you can't do anything about or that you won't do anything about. For they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Those that talk like that are a cancer. And people should and will avoid them. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Another saying says, those who call on the name of the Lord sin no more. My goodness, if we're calling on the name of the Lord, we should be living a sinless life. Well, that's easy, right? Well, Adam, you don't have my neighbors, you don't have my family, you don't have my job, you don't have my spouse, you don't have my children, you don't have my parents, you don't have my finances, you don't have my paycheck, you don't have... I get it. Church, we have to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere and say, no more, God. God, today I'm going to start living for you. Today I'm going to remember that white flag I stuck in that piece of styrofoam. I'm going to do something about it. Well, I did it because everyone else was going up and I didn't want to be sitting up there holding my white flag alone. I'd rather you be truthful. God, I'm not ready to surrender. It pains me. It pains me to this day. Remembering being all excited about Jesus when I first came here and was with the youth group. And Eric, we went to the concert and he's singing about that. It's like, oh yeah. And then he says, would you sacrifice? And he talked about Abraham sacrificing his son. It was roughly Spencer's age at the time. And I remember saying, no. No, God, I'm not ready. I'm hanging on to this white flag. Why? I'm not ready to give him up. Or anybody in my life. I'm not ready, God. And I thought, will we ever be ready? I don't know. So that's the place that we all are. We all have the flesh that says, not me, God, I'm hanging on to this white flag because, you see, I just can't surrender that much. I gave you a little. I'll even give you a bunch. I can't give you my all. My all means too much to me. You see, I haven't matured to that point. I don't know if I ever will. I'm just being honest. I want to. And I want to say, heck yeah. I have arrived. Well, guess what? I have not arrived. I still have parts that I want to hang on to because I don't know how to let go. But he says, if you call on the name of the Lord, depart from sin. To lay thee to well, go and sin no more is what he wants us to do. But I think the best we can do on any given day is go out and say, God, I'm going to do everything I can to stay away from sin today. God, if I do sin, man, the first thing I want to do is think of you. And man, I want to ask for your forgiveness, God. And I want to think about that next time, so that I can stay away from that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. And it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. Oh my gosh, listen up, church. If you are the latter vessel, you can cleanse yourself. And you can become a vessel for honor, sanctified, set apart, and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. He can do that with each and every one of us. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Here we go again. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife and stress and unrest and unpeace, church. Stay away from it. But be gentle to all, able to teach, being patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that there may become that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Church, we understand when those things happen, it's from the devil. It says in here several things. It says, pursue this. Cleanse yourself. Be sanctified or set apart. Flee from evil. Flee from youthful lust. Avoid. Shun. Depart from. When we call on the name of the Lord, we are to depart from sin. And it may be, as we mentioned in the beginning, when we call on the name of the Lord, that's for corporate worship, seeking the Creator, seeking His help, seeking unity, seeking corporate worship. Maybe we just need to call on the name of the Lord more often so that we can live that life, so that we can live in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word today. God, I thank you for men in the beginning of the Bible calling on the name of the Lord. I thank you for Abram, where he built his altar and called on the name of the Lord. God, I thank you in Acts that the disciples were reminding people what was said in the Old Testament regarding calling on the name of the Lord. God, Romans spoke of calling on the name of the Lord. And I thank you for those that call on the name of the Lord. that your word says they will be saved. They will be saved. But God, then you put a reminder in 2 Timothy. And that reminder was for those of us that call on the name of the Lord, we also have a responsibility to flee from sin, to depart from sin, to turn from sin, to sin no more. God, to live a life that is pure and holy. Just need to call upon the name of the Lord more often to be reminded of who and what you are in our life. God, I pray today that we are reminded of the tough lessons of the Bible, to watch our mouth, watch our gossiping, our complaining, our idle talk, babbling, Lord. It has no value in our journey. And it spreads like a cancer. God, I pray today we remove that cancer from our life. God, I pray today that we're reminded of the white flag where we said, God, I surrender to you. I will pick up my cross, carry it daily. God, I pray that daily we're reminded of our cross and that we carry it daily. God, today may we be changed and transformed by your word, the Holy Spirit working in our lives to transform us. In Jesus' name, amen.